You asked for it, you got it. The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast for lazy people of all persuasions. And now, fresh from his morning nap, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
It's Medicare for the Lazy Man Day here in Arizona. It's our favorite day of the week where we record Medicare for the Lazy Man and you get to listen to it. The Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is brought to you by people who are very concerned that Medicare not be a scary experience for you. And what do we do to ensure that it won't be? We provide you with a book that will make you feel so much better about your encounter with Medicare. It's called, ironically, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. So if you go to Barnes & Noble, or if you go to, where would you go? You would go to Amazon.com and put that title into the search window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. You're going to find the latest edition of my book. And when you take one of the many types of books, the Audible, the Kindle, the hardcover, the softcover, when you take one of those home and read it, which won't take you very long, you will suddenly realize that you've become one of the few people in America that is actually a Medicare expert. And I would offer my congratulations to you, but your work isn't done yet. If you've got a Medicare encounter coming up, you're going to need some additional insurance in order to flesh out the Medicare program to make it absolutely bulletproof. And I can help you buy that insurance because I'm a licensed insurance guy everywhere in the United States. So buy the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. After you finish reading it and you're about ready to enter the world of Medicare, contact me and you and I will have a beautiful but very brief relationship wherein your Medicare program will be 100% completed and everything will be beautiful for you from there on out. I'm watching my pest control guy who just pulled up across the street in his little pest control buggy. And frankly, he is, I guess, enjoying some song that's on the radio because he's not even thinking about getting out of the vehicle. So rather than watch him keep time with some music or rap or whatever he's got going on in there, I'm going to ask Randy Carson to join us. Hello, Randy.
Doug, how the heck are you?
Well, I'm kind of sad because we don't have another Randy Carson Day here at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. That was a lot of fun last time.
I know. It's a once a year, maybe even once every 5 year deal. I don't think we can have a Randy Carson Day, you know, once a year.
Well, it hasn't been as frequent as we should have. I would like to find reasons that we can celebrate your existence more frequently.
Well, I think one of the ways that we can do that is that I have, as you may know from your curator, I have a list of questions.
You do. That's right.
I feel just incredibly prepared because I have this list of questions. And do you want to tackle one now or do you want to tackle one later?
Well, listen, you're in ultimate charge of our production here. And if you think that I should tackle one now, then let's go for it.
Let's go ahead and take one. I don't think it's going to, I mean, I think even I could answer this, but I'm not the expert, so I may be wrong.
Well, I'll let you know whether you are or aren't. Actually, how would I know what you know? How would I know what you would answer? Why don't you try giving it an answer, and then I'll let you know what my answer would have been.
Okay. The question is, for $64,000, not really, can I enroll in Medicare Advantage and Medigap? And my answer is no.
Boy, you're a damn genius. I don't know what I'm doing here. You could run this whole shoot and match by yourself, Randy, because your answer is exactly right. You're not allowed to have both of those things at the same time. And one of the reasons is if you have Medicare, when you buy a Medicare Advantage plan, which is not something that I advise at all, they take away Medicare from you. So then all you have is the Medicare Advantage plan. You have no backstop. Whereas if you have a Medicare supplement, that means you already have real Medicare, and then your Medicare supplement plan just supplements it. It fills in the holes and gaps. Sometimes it's called Medigap insurance. But when you have Medicare, you're allowed to have a Medicare supplement to fill out that protection and make it bulletproof. When you have Medicare and you buy a Medicare Advantage, they say, sure, here's your Medicare Advantage. And then they take away Medicare from you. And it's just not ideal. So you can't have both at the same time because they address differing needs. So you were exactly right. Congratulations.
Thank you. I thought I had that one pegged, but I wasn't sure because I do not have any time for Medicare disadvantaged people, or as I prefer to call them, scam vantage people.
Yep. You don't have any truck with the likes of them, I know.
No.
But in fact, you could even expand that to say the word Medicare is something that you're not even happy about hearing. Often it makes you go into a coma if you have to hear that word too many times.
When you see, can you see my glasses in the screen here?
Yeah, they're kind of fogged up.
They kind of glaze over if I get too deep into Medicare. Just the way when I try to teach Doug the ins and outs of PHP programming.
Yes, I was not an apt pupil for that endeavor. And and frankly, I'll stick with my area of expertise and you can keep the programming.
I think that would be a great choice because programming, they always say, why don't you do what you want to do if you'd be doing that anyway? Do that for a job.
Sure.
And I used to do this for a hobby before I ever got through college. So literally, I am doing what I used to do for fun for a job. And I think at some level, you are too.
Well, yeah, the difference is that we figured out how to get somebody to pay for it.
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense. Okay. I've got some actual curated content here by my new curation expert. It's some of it is Medicare related and other elements here are just entertaining. So let me start with an article that sounds as though it's going to have some broad appeal. I know that many of the people I know are having eye problems. My Medicare content curator has one eye that has wet macular degeneration, and the other eye has dry macular degeneration. There are injections into an eyeball involved with this process and a lot of treatment, a lot of expensive eye drops and stuff in order to preserve the vision. So I'm aware more acutely than ever before that as people age, they have more eye problems. I'm very lucky. I've never had any of that kind of stuff. And I barely wear glasses. But I ran across an article here asking if cataract surgery is covered by Medicare. The most recent cataract patient I've had any time with was my neighbor across the street who had two cataracts removed in 1 week. I don't know why they didn't do both of them the same day, but her vision improved dramatically. And she couldn't be happier that her cataracts have been surgically removed and they did something to tweak her eyeball so that her vision is fantastic. I think they can even ask you whether you want to be nearsighted or farsighted and where you want your visual acuity to be. But let me read this article here quickly about is cataract surgery covered by Medicare? And it starts out by saying, are you aware that by age 65, almost a third of all Americans will have cataracts? Since this is so common, Medicare fortunately covers the surgery. Since this kind of vision impairment is so common, it's important to know what your Medicare plan will cover and how much you'll have to pay on your end. Now, the surgery itself is usually done as an outpatient procedure and takes about an hour. And although you won't be under general anesthesia, your doctor will likely give you something to help you relax. Medicare Part B will cover 80% of your outpatient surgical expense and doctor's fees after you've met your Part B annual deductible, which this year is $226. If you have a Medigap, meaning a Medicare supplement plan, it will pay after Medicare, and then you'll be responsible for any remaining fee once Medicare and your Medicare supplement have paid their share. On the other hand, if you have a Medicare Advantage plan, you'll pay any applicable deductibles, co-payments, or co-insurances. Now, that's not really a word, but we'll let it slide for the time being. Every Advantage plan has different limits. All of them are high for the most part, so be sure to consult your plan provider for the exact costs. Your Part D drug coverage, that's Part D as in dog, drug coverage, if you have it, will help you pay for any medications needed before and after your surgery. Medicare will also cover either one pair of eyeglasses with standard frames or one set of contact lenses after the surgery. Overall, Medicare will cover most of your costs associated with the cataract surgery, but keep in mind that your total costs will depend on how the surgery was performed, where it took place, and whether you received upgrades like premium lenses. So I thought that might be helpful for people who are contemplating improving their vision through surgery. And then I find in my pile of curated material a picture of a hot babe. And I thought, let's see what she has to say. Well, it turns out she is named Toni, T-O-N-I. She has a question and answer column. She also has a website. She also has an insurance agency. So I can't give Toni the proper respect or the amount of exposure that she would probably like, because Toni is a competitor of mine. So, you know, there's the woman in Wisconsin, Diane Omdahl. I quote her stuff all the time because she writes about excellent Medicare subjects. She writes coherently and accurately, and she doesn't sell insurance. So Diane Omdahl is a valued compadre of mine, not a competitor. But this hot-looking Toni is unfortunately a competitor. So I'm not going to be telling you too much about her, but I'm sure you can find her if you go on the internet and look for Toni, T-O-N-I. Anyway, the question that she received from one of her correspondents was, I need your Medicare guidance because in December, and I don't know what year this was, in December, I was rushed to the emergency room because of kidney failure caused from a stage 4 prostate cancer, which has spread to my pelvic bones. Oh boy, this guy's a world of hurt. Because I was working full time, in January, I took a leave of absence with short-term disability for 60 days while receiving my cancer treatment, which ended on February 28th. I was informed while in the hospital that I had qualified for long-term disability and would no longer be part of my company's health insurance plan. Since I was not a full-time employee, COBRA would begin immediately. I enrolled and paid for COBRA to continue with medical care. Where I'm having cancer treatment. It took 6 weeks to get the paperwork for Social Security for Medicare Part B to begin on May 1st, which it has since I was not working full time. Now my COBRA nightmare begins. Because I was not enrolled in Medicare Part B, COBRA is only paying 20% of my medical bills, and I was billed the 80% that Medicare would have paid, which has totaled over $40,000. Please help me solve this COBRA financial nightmare. Thank you, Toni. And that's from Robert. So Toni says, hello, Robert. Those reading this article need to realize the seriousness of Medicare and insurance rules. The Medicare and You Handbook discusses topics such as special enrollment period and should I get Part B? It states that COBRA is not considered real insurance coverage based on current employer benefits. You have 8 months to sign up for Medicare Part B without a penalty if you are not working full-time or have lost your company benefits, whichever comes first. The eight-month period will run when you first choose COBRA or not, or will run whether you choose COBRA or not. So if you lose your company plan because you're not actively at work anymore, you can go on COBRA, which will pay your medical bills. But COBRA is not considered real coverage, real insurance coverage for the purposes of Medicare. COBRA has an 18-month benefit period. If you choose COBRA, do not wait until your COBRA ends to enroll in Part B. The COBRA benefit period is longer than the 8-month Medicare special enrollment period, and you may receive the famous Medicare Part B penalty, which goes all the way back to when you enrolled in Medicare Part A. Robert, you did everything correctly to enroll in Medicare Part B by contacting Social Security and faxing the CMS-L564 form, Request for Employment Information. That's the form where you prove to Medicare that you have had insurance up until the day it was terminated. So that was signed by your company's Human Resources Department. And you had CMS 40B, which is an application for Part B. Fortunately, at least you were still within the correct time limits for your Medicare Part B to begin May 1st. You are in a Medicare glitch, and the COBRA health plan is using coordination of benefits as their ruling. So I don't want to toot Tony's horn too much here. So group health insurance plans are state regulated, not Medicare regulated. Since you are older than age 65 and you are already enrolled in Medicare Part A, the health plan is passing 80% of the doctor and medical bills on Part B to Medicare. You were not enrolled in Medicare Part B from March 1st to April 30th in order for Medicare to pick up the difference. Now, here's a bit of good news. COBRA plans are a creditable prescription drug coverage plan, and you are eligible for a special enrollment period of 63 days to enroll in a Medicare Part D plan without receiving a Part D penalty. Please enroll in your Part D prescription drug plan ASAP. Remember, with Medicare, what you don't know will hurt you. Well, this guy fell into a weird crack, but the problem he caused for himself was not engaging in his Part B, as in boy, enrollment with Medicare as early as he could have. And so 80% of his medical expenses that were incurred while he dilly-dallied and had his cancer treatment wound up in his doorstep or at his doorstep. So that was a complicated situation. I could see where somebody could fall victim to that confusion, but it's always better. I mean, this guy asked Tony, and maybe if he had spoken to an expert prior, he would have been able to avoid having that trap snap on him. This curation is just fantastic. My curator takes a burden off of me, let me tell you. Johns Hopkins Medicine. This is from Johns Hopkins Hospital. That's a big outfit. I forget where it is, but it's somewhere in the East. And this article here is Johns Hopkins News. They have had an interesting change in their human resources procedures. Johns Hopkins medicine workers were recently allowed to use their chosen names on ID badges. Employees of the hospital in Maryland, that's where it is, were given a new pronoun usage guide that lists dozens of pronouns, including ourself. Now, I'm guessing at the pronunciation of this new pronoun. It's spelled A-E-R-S-E-L-F, ourself, and F-A-E-R-S-E-L-F, farself. While staffers navigate recent inclusive ID policy, the pronoun usage guide from Johns Hopkins Medical details 50 different pronouns that healthcare employees can use in the workplace, with other options including VE, XE, PER, and AE. I don't know who sits around and makes this stuff up, but it's incredible to me. The guide includes examples of how to use the pronouns. Here are a couple of examples. I know Randy's taking notes because he's thinking about some new human resources policies around his company. Here's an example. AE, how would you pronounce it? AE cleaned the office all by herself. Or another example, I gave Farr the key. The guide also shows how to use titles correctly, such as using Mr. for men. Oh, that's familiar. Miss for women, or MX for non-binary gender diverse people. And this goes on and on. It's like a four-page article. This guide comes alongside a policy that went into effect last year that allows workers to use their legal names on badges and can opt for a name that fits with their gender identities. Johns Hopkins Medicine's program director for LGBTQ plus minus extension sign equity and education, Paula Neira, said on a podcast this year that in addition to patients using a chosen name for their wristbands, professionals who work for the hospital system can also use a chosen name on their ID badges. So that's pretty exciting for those people, I guess. On the workforce side, for our people, we updated their ID badge policy this March in order to allow us to use a chosen name on our ID badges, that Paula person said. And then if you turn to page 3 of this article, you find out that Paula is a dude. Paula is a transgendered military vet who previously served as the clinical program director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Transgender and Gender Expansive Health before becoming the program director of the LGBTQABCDXYZ Equity and Education at Johns Hopkins Medicine Office of Diversity, Inclusion, and Health Equity. Boy, that's a mouthful. This person, this man, made history in 2015 as the first transgender Navy veteran whose discharge documentation was updated to reflect his new name. Well, the only effect on Medicare, the only reason this is in my Medicare pile of curated content is I have a question. My question is, whatever happened to just say no to these whack jobs? Why is it that we have to kowtow to every moron that has a stupid idea, including deciding that their pronoun is VE or MX? It is incredible to me that there are people who will put up with this stupidity instead of maybe taking care of patients. You got a bunch of patients in a big old hospital there, Johns Hopkins. Maybe you should concentrate on delivering effective medical treatment to them and tell these people to sit down and shut up. But that's just one man's opinion, and that man happens to be the Lazy Man Medicare, Lazy Man's Medicare, whatever I am. So, moving ahead, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas has a pretty exciting announcement. They were locked in heavy negotiations and have concluded those negotiations positively in whatever town this is, United Women's Health Care. Stays in the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas networks, all of their networks, including their Medicare Advantage PPO and HMO plans. Unified Women's Healthcare is not going to leave their networks after all. They're available for OBGYN consultations and so forth, provide those services. So congratulations, you Texans who don't have to scramble to find a new doctor. And I think I've probably gotten so excited about my content here, Randy, that I ran out of time. Big old clock on the wall looks like it's counting down the minutes to our the end of our episode.
The 75 cents is gone, Doug.
And the crickets have chirped and all those things.
The crickets have spoken. I was absolutely enjoying that update on Johns Hopkins. I would like to suggest a couple new pronouns. You know how, you remember how Prince used to, you know, he was known as a symbol.
Yeah, but you know, he had a real reason for that.
Yeah, he did. And but everybody used to refer to him as the artist formerly known as Prince. But there was a reason for that. So I would like to know if it would be appropriate to have a pronoun that says the person formerly known as an idiot.
Well, don't you think some of those people are still known as idiots?
Well, you know, could be, but yeah. Like you said, we've got better things to worry about in this world and bigger fish to fry than if you can have your chosen pronoun. And I would like to be known as Lizard Man. Can I have that on my tag?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get our new name tags. I want to be either dude or bro. Those are my pronouns.
Okay.
Yeah. And
yeah, yeah.
You can
okay,
be Lizard.
Can do that.
You can be Lizard Man.
Lizard Man, yes.
Now we just got to find a name tag guy.
Oh, I've got a name tag guy. We can have
cool.
You want to be dude and bro, or depending on the day, dude or bro?
Yeah, I guess depending on the day. I identify as one or the other depending on the day.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to be Lizard Man every day.
Cool. Can I call you Liz, or do you have
Liz.
Another? All righty.
Yeah, no, Liz, the Liz will work, but, you know, that's only for close friends like you.
Yeah. Well, when
other
I think,
people, it's Mr. Lizard.
When I think back to World War II, and I wasn't around in World War II, but I know what things were like in the country back then. We had more important things to worry about than this kind of stupidity. I think we might need another war, Randy. It might
I'm
be
telling,
the solution.
I'm telling you. That'll probably limit the list of pronouns a lot.
I would think so. I would think so.
Everybody known as a hubcap, come along my way. We're going to war.
And my concern, though, is the effect of our fighting forces on the enemy. If those are the people that are now available for draft for military service, it might be that our victory would be in doubt.
Yep. Yep. I totally get it. So anyway, I am going to close up shop here because the 75-cent clock just ran out. The plane is coming in. The bus is coming in. We're all coming in. So let's find a way to sign off for today. But before we do that, Doug mentioned himself that he's a nationwide licensed insurance dude. So we are covered that. But I haven't talked about his email address at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. We haven't talked about the visit you need to make to MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. We talked about all the different media that you can get his book, whether it's printed or electronic, or do you have any that are chiseled on the back of a rock?
Yes, I have 18 of those.
Okay. All right. So we've got those on the stone tablets too, people. So those are probably going to be in high demand. So check them out soon. But before I let you go, if you can find a way to give us a rating on our podcast and book, we would be very appreciative because we are up against it every day of our life trying to maintain the lead that we have, and I don't want it to dwindle away. However, if you haven't watched your watch or your clock today, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. Now, living in the great state of Arizona, behind Cave Creek, up in the high mountains, and truthfully, watching over the town with a set of Army surplus binoculars in his fortress of solitude.
Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll look forward to seeing you soon. Bye-bye.